and of no physical threat to anyone, is picked up by law enforcement. While he is in their care, he is harassed, mocked, spit on, beaten again and again. This could be the story of Jesus' crucifixion, or it could be a story on the 6 o'clock news. Onlookers hurl insults like mud. Religious leaders smugly ridicule him and his beliefs, and one can sense a sadistic joy that this proves he was not who he said he was. Son of God. Come down from the cross, Son of God. Even the outlaws on either side insult him in the same way as everyone else. It's hard to hear or listen to this passage. How many of us wear crosses around our necks? Have them on our walls in our homes, or maybe in the garden bed outside our front door? I mean, I have them on my wedding ring. But I don't think about this story when I see that. After all, though, this is akin today to the electric chair or the hanging noose used for lynching or a bomb being dropped. It is the ultimate symbol of terror and force of power. And Jesus cries out, "Oh God, why have you forsaken me? Why, oh why, God, have you forsaken me?" He feels abandoned and all alone. And some of us have been there before. Some of us have asked that very same question, "Why, God, have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me?" Clearly, you have left. And at this very moment, someone somewhere is asking that very question. A partner that loses the love of their life unexpectedly. A man sees no possible way to pay rent or medical bills. A person suffering with depression feels all alone, doesn't find meaning in anything. A man living his true gender has been made to feel broken by legislators and religious leaders. A woman, not prepared to have a child, fears making a decision for her own body would be breaking the law. A mother receives a call that her black unarmed son will not be coming home. A parent receives a phone call that says there's been a shooting. Oh God, why have you forsaken me? Oh God, why have you forsaken us? This cry of lament is ancient. It echoes through every age and every place. And while it appears that God has left Jesus, while it appears that he is all alone, his plea to know why, is a sign of deep faith. For if God truly fled the scene, who is Jesus speaking to? When we lament, why waste our breath in asking why if we don't think anyone is listening? I want to end with this poem by Reverend Sarah R. entitled, "To Ask Why." She says, "To ask why is to break open your heart, to pour yourself out, to share in the gnawing emptiness of the tomb, to peel away any layer of security, to walk on fire and stand in the rain. It's talking about bad dreams after you have had them. It's courageous and vulnerable, painful and necessary. To ask why is to declare that God is God. To ask why is to say, be my God, even when the world falls apart. Faith that God is still indeed with us. Faith that even on the darkest days, in the worst atrocities that this world is capable of, God is indeed present. For God is not watching someone else die, but God is on the cross with Jesus. On the cross, God, through Jesus, refuses to return insult for insult or violence for violence, but gives everything, even God's last breath through Jesus, for love, mercy, and grace. There is nothing redemptive about the cross. There is no good news in this scene. However, we know something that the Roman Empire does not. We know something that the religious leaders do not. We know something that those who perpetuate hate and exclusion do not. This is not the end of the story. Amen. Amen.